We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 in our study. And we're looking tonight at knowing real love. Boy, we may not even get past the title, huh? Knowing real love. What a world we live in right now. We are hot off the streets of Stuttgart, Germany. Ask there people many, many questions. Introduce them to Jesus Christ. And many, many times the question came up about love. How can God love? If God is real, then why? And those are great questions. But listen, first of all, the world is to know and to witness God's love by our relationship one to another as Christians. In 1 John, as you can see, chapter 1, verse 3, it is the theme verse of the entire book. You know, if you're a student of the Bible, and I know all of you are, you will always find, this is pretty cool, it's a little bit of a neat tip, you will always find the theme of the book that you're studying in the first chapter, not only in the first chapter, but you will often find the theme of the entire book that you're studying in the first few verses. It's very important. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says there, John is speaking, he says, "That which we have seen," listen, "that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." To know the real love of God, John was writing at a time of Gnosticism. Gnosticism was prevailing. And it was a belief that held to the fact that all things that were material were evil things. That which was spiritual was holy, no matter what that thing was. That which was material was evil. And so the Gnostics believed that there was a great void between, and there was really no being accountable. That you could live a life and live it as you please. And it really didn't matter because the material world was written off. It was just wasted. And so it didn't really matter how you lived. But John wrote in his first epistle, second and third, that this thing of love, not only love and loving one another, that Christians should know and be known by their love for one another. But listen, he says that which we have handled, we've seen and we've heard with our own ears, our own hands, we've touched Him, the Lord of glory. He says this in the first chapter of 1 John. We touched Him. He's talking about Jesus Christ, the personification of love Himself. I am amazed on how the world and the people of the world ignorantly attack and hate Jesus. Just hate His name. And yet you ask people, why are you so upset when we mention Jesus? And they really don't have a response. This one who came from heaven, died for the sins of the world. Maybe that's the problem, huh? I guess if you look at Jesus, you got to fess up that He died. And just His death, you know, generates a little bit of concern. A little bit of guilt, I guess, which maybe, hopefully, that guilt leads to salvation. Conviction. You must have conviction before salvation. You must first face up to the fact that you're a sinner before God can ever claim and declare you a saint. But you mention the name of Jesus and people either go, "Ah, yes," or they get all up in arms about Him. I think I might have shared in one of the services on Sunday that last week when we were there in Germany, there were a string of kids sitting down, and they got a real kick out of this. They were 15 years of age, all of them sitting there. Pretty sharp boys, by the way, spoke wonderful English. And I asked them, I said, "You know, who do you think's really, really important? You think Buddha's really important, or Muhammad, or Joseph Smith, or Jesus Christ? Who's the big hitter among them all?" And they kind of pretty much agreed that it was Jesus. And I said, "Isn't it interesting that if somebody, you know, stubs their toe or cuts their finger or or falls off their bicycle or whatever it is, you know, they don't say, "Oh, Buddha." They don't raise the hammer and slam it down upon their thumbnail and say, "Oh, Muhammad." And they got a real kick out of that. And it hit them, because I remember how that hit me when someone led me to think that so many years ago when I was a child. That whenever God is cursed, Jesus' name is right in there. And it ministered to those guys. Jesus is associated with love, forgiveness, and righteousness. But Jesus and his name is also associated with heaven and hell. He stands at the crossroad of every human's life, every human being. As Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." And we've mentioned this before, how every human being who comes to the age of being accountable must make a determination about Jesus. They must. I was pretty excited this last couple weeks in Germany as I had a chance to speak to a lot of people who had been schooled in evolution. And they said, "Well, I'm an evolutionist." We had an evening together after we had a little bit of a concert. A precious group, a band by the name of Promise from Calvary Chapel Ziegen, drove some 4 hours down for us, did a music, set of music on the steps of the mayor's office, and then we got up and preached the gospel. And after the gospel was given, four girls at the university there said, "I want to talk to you. And I want to talk to you about evolution." And they went on about their evolutionary theory, and you would listen to them and try to act like we were impressed with what they were just regurgitating. Really, they were just regurgitating. You understand that? They truly were, because as they were speaking, And they would make some statement, and everybody knows that this is thus and so. And I said, "Well, how do you know that's true? How do you know that evolution is true?" "Well, you know, our professor was teaching." "Oh, no, no. What you're saying is you are regurgitating. You are telling me what your professor told you." "Who told your professor? Show me, tell me, lead me to the evidence." "And there is no evidence." And they knew it. And they just, as they stood there, began to be whittled down, not in grief, but in their intellect, it was whittled down, and they stood there respectfully, and they admitted, "You know, you're right." But to consider the concept of God changes your mind. It completely changes the way you think. If God be real, then now my life means something. If God is real, then now there's a purpose for my existence. There is a meaning to who I am. And I want to ask you tonight, who are you? I look around. I'm John the businessman. Or I look around and I see that, you know, I'm Carrie and the school teacher. I look around and I see Frank and he's the contractor. And I look around and I see these people. I see Joe and I see others. And who are you? Well, you are these things, but you're a Christian. You are created in the image of God, and God has invested His Holy Spirit in your life. And our lives are to be known, if God be real, by our love one for another. It's so important to know real love. There are girls now on the streets or in hotel rooms, in cars, giving up their bodies, thinking that this maybe will lead them to real love. There's men doing the same, thinking, "Now this is going to work. I will finally have real love." You know, listen, frankly, there may have been couples that just this last weekend exchanged vows, and they're riding that wave. That honeymoon is still, you know, going on, and it's real love. Listen, that's great and that's wonderful, but there's one real love, and that's the love of God that has been spread abroad or poured out in our hearts by Jesus Christ. And you'll never be able to love your wife. You'll never be able to love your husband or love the world. I don't mean love the world, you know what I mean? But I mean love the world. You know what I mean? You look at the world, doesn't your heart break because you love the people in the world. We don't love the things of the world. So funny, you know, we're walking around in Germany, they get Stuttgart's the, you know, it's the delivery room, birthplace of Mercedes-Benz there. And everybody drives one. They even have this little car. They have a car there called, it's called a smart car. I didn't know this car existed. A smart car. It's made by Swatch. You know Swatch, the watch people? It's made by Swatch and Mercedes-Benz. It's the funniest thing. It looks like a watch. I mean, it's about as big as a watch. But it carries this price tag. And every car that goes by is a BMW, Mercedes-Benz, an Audi, and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, for some men who struggle with you know, cars and things like that, that'd be a stumbling place to be. But boy, you can see the people. You see the people drive by in their little smart car. You know, you can. I am not kidding when I tell you it's about from here to about from here. From bumper to bumper. About that big. And you see that guy driving it like this. And then you see the guy driving the, you know, they got Mercedes-Benz there I've never seen on this planet. They're totally different. And that guy, he sits a little different. Moves a little different. Same people. Same person on the inside. Looking, needing, longing for love, real love. And without Jesus Christ, there'll be no fulfillment. We have students today in classes, in classrooms across America, who are looking for real love, and really it's an oxymoron. They're looking for real love, they need it, they should have it, it should be given to them, but they're being told they're animals. That they're evolutionary products of chance. That's impossible. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord wants us to look at Jesus, who is in fact real love. The Bible tells us, and I love this, if you really think about it, the world in time, this is amazing, in the future, I don't know how it's going to pan out, but the world in time will confess our Christian love one for another. How so? Listen, Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16, there Jesus says, now read it carefully, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Who's going to glorify your Father in heaven? According to that verse. Men. The world. Now think about it. Jesus says, let your light so shine that the men of this world, mankind, will glorify your Father in heaven. That's a wild verse. Matthew 5:16. Are they doing it now? Listen, when you lead someone to Christ, do they go, all right? No, they say, oh, you Jesus freak, you crazy loony. You do something in the name of the Lord and people get all upset. Somehow, in the end, the world is even going to have to fess up. You know what? That guy that drove me crazy with his, you know, Jesus loves you, sticker on his car or whatever, somehow, in the end, will confess the good works that God has poured out in your life and through your life. The world, in the end, is going to glorify the Lord. And that's an amazing thing. 1 John chapter 3, 16 through 18 tonight. By this we know love, because He, Jesus, laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If in verses 9 through 15 that we looked at last time, so we saw the proof of the divine birth, meaning we've been born of God and we have the love of God in us. We looked at that last time, and that we have the life of God in us. Then verses 16 through 18 tells us about the definition of this divine birth. And that is real love that comes from God. And so the first thing that we see in our study this evening is to understand this. To know real love, and jot it down if you would, that we are to live as Christians a redemptive love. Can you write that down? We're to live a redemptive love. What do I mean by that, a redemptive love? Look, our love cannot redeem anyone, I mean, from their sins. That's impossible. Only Jesus can do that. And by the way, there is a cult that's very hip on this, that they believe that they can redeem you. And they believe that there are millions of saviors, and of which they are one of them. This is not the redemptive life or love that I'm talking about. We are to live a redemptive life. How so? He says in verse 16, by this we know. By this we know. Important. By this we know. And what is it? It's truth. The truth is this, that Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. So the first thing we want to see is that we're to live a redemptive life and that we know the truth. Because Jesus died for us, we've got a message. We can go out and tell people. We don't have to be ashamed. Honestly, there's a difference in being shy and being fearful or timid because of ignorance. We may be shy, but if we know that Jesus Christ loves us and has redeemed us, then we can go forward in that truth, even if we be shy people by nature. We can say, oh Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm shy. But God, this message, let me proclaim it in whatever way God would have you to proclaim it. Whatever medium He would provide for you. Maybe it's in your office, or maybe it's on the streets, or maybe it's through writing letters, or however it might go. But the fact of the matter is, we can live a redemptive life, meaning that we can be used by God to bring people to Christ because we have known the love of God. This word is gnosko. In Greek, we've experienced it. We know it. And it is the truth. It's an awesome thing. And I don't know about you. I pray to God that there's nobody in this church that is just hanging on. You just hang on. You just come in. You know a little bit. But do you know for a fact? Can you state it? You know, and the day is coming. I'm convinced of it. The day is coming. And can you state it? A reason for the hope that lies within you. Can you stand up and say, listen, I believe in Jesus Christ because I know that He loved me and died for my sins. And by the way, you, Mr. So-and-so with your machine gun just about ready to mow me down, loves you too. There's a hatred against God in our country that has probably never been as it is now. And that hatred is intensifying even against the Christian. Of course, the closer we draw to Jesus, the more hatred we're going to draw. But He says this in verse 16, by this we know love. It's an experiential knowledge. We know it by working with it. We've visually seen it. We've touched it. It's a love that works. It's a love where an old man and a young child, you see them get together. They talk about God. I remember with Ashton and Ken, senior fellows of our church here. Now they've gone home to be with the Lord. You know, the youth love to sit around and talk to these old guys. What brought them together? Jesus Christ. The love of God. This truth that brought them together was that God loved them. This common knowledge of that. We're to be living a redemptive life, and that we have a message to tell people. And that message is, Jesus laid down His life. In our living room right now, we have on the coffee table a nativity scene. And it has all the little animals gathered around there, and it has the wise men, and they're bowing down. There's a little baby in that trough. We're in the Christmas fest, the Christmas mart in Germany. They got this huge nativity scene. About whom or about what? This little baby who came into the world to set men free from their sins. God come into the world to save us. John says, we've touched Him. We've handled Him. We've experienced Him. We've seen Him. So we are to be living a redemptive life, in that we have the message. We know what the truth is. The second thing that we see here is that we have an example of that truth. And that is, it says in verse 16, that He laid down His life for us. You know, Jesus wasn't wrestled down to the cross. You know that? He didn't cry out. It was as though the prophet said, Isaiah chapters 53, 54. Read Isaiah chapter 50 all the way to 54 about Christ. 743 years before He was born. Jesus didn't fight the cross. He went to the cross. He had a date with the cross. It wasn't the death of some reluctant Messiah. There's a book written about this, how Jesus got caught up into the fervor of the people. Oh, that's ridiculous. The prophets foretold that He would come and do this very thing. And Jesus lived out the example of truth, of what real love is. And it's exactly what you want. It's exactly what you need. People's lives are broken. You know, I'm certain that the news that I hear these days is because I'm getting older, but I can't help but believe it's also because the days are getting more evil. You know what I mean by what I just said? As you get older, you hear about people dying. As you get older, you hear about people getting sick. You know, it seems like maybe we've heard about it all of our lives, but when we were young, we didn't listen. But have you noticed, it's just, I don't want to be a party pooper. But it seems like there's a lot of bad news going around. It seems like there's a lot of pain happening. Jesus laid down His life. He did it gladly. He wasn't a masochist. He gladly laid down His life because of the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross. Yes, despising its shame, the cross was miserable. You know, today we have the cross, and it's more jewelry than anything. But can you imagine today if we had a sale at our bookstore? We had a sale on little gold or silver or platinum electric chairs. Yeah, you can hang it around your neck. Oh my, that's a nice electric chair you have around your neck. Christians didn't walk around in the first century with crosses around their neck. Hey, praise the Lord, brother. The cross was a Roman symbol. It was Rome's gas chamber. It was Rome's electric chair. It was an implement of shame. Jesus went to that cross, that example he did for us. What is your most shameful act? What have you done in secret? I tell you, I don't know. Maybe all of you are Christians in here. I hope so. If you're not, maybe this will motivate you to become one in about 30 seconds. But Jesus said, that which has been done or said in secret, in the end shall be shouted from the housetop. Yeah, think about that. Well, you all must be Christians, because if you weren't, there'd be a stampede running forward right now. Think about it. The most secret thing, private. You thought nobody was watching or nobody was listening or nobody was recording or nobody was, you know, God was there. Jesus went to the cross for that. I tell you, the debt was paid, but in your life privately, unless you cash in on it, it's suspended over your head, that guilt, that sin. Charles Spurgeon talks about in one of his books, the Christian having a checkbook, that God has paid all the debts, He's paid all of the price. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. Is that what it says? All of it. You know, those of you who have studied how to buy a computer know Greek. And you type into your computer the Greek definition of all. And you know what it means? It means all. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all our sin. Secondly, or thirdly, I should say, we're to live a redemptive life in that we know what to do with the truth. And what do we mean by that? Verse 16, it says, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We'll probably end because of time at this point, but let's just finish this one here. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now that sounds kind of sadistic. That sounds kind of perilous. Are you ready for this? He is not so much teaching us to physically lay down our life for someone, though certainly it's implied. Are you ready? What he's talking about is more difficult. Are you ready? It's the Christian, because of Christ Jesus' example, when he says here that we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, it would be best described as going around this, you, us, we, in this church. I am so tempted to just jump over this podium and do something about it. It's to lift the other person up. It's to get underneath you. Look to the person. Go ahead. Look to the person to your left. Look to the person to your right. Now look. This word means you get down underneath them. Okay? And you lift them up higher than yourself. You give them the bigger slice of the pie. You give them the taller glass. You look at ways to how you might bless them. Listen, church, if the world sees us doing this, if we would get our eyes off of our petty, stupid little things. I think Satan, when he's not having a bad day, he's got to laugh sometimes. Because he just says, look at those Christians. I've got them just eating and devouring one another while their neighborhood is going to hell right in my mitt. I mean, I'm catching them. They're just falling right down here. While this Christian is all upset at this Christian bickering about things that have no eternal value whatsoever. They're squandering their time. What a crack up! They could be sharing Christ with somebody, but they're so caught up in being right that they're going to fight about this for months, and it could be years. A root of bitterness will grow up in their heart. It's going to defile not only themselves, but many. Oh man, what a day this is. I'm sure Satan has these days. We give him those days. But if we're wronged, what are we to do? If we're wronged, we forgive the person that wronged us. Oh, that's got to upset Satan. Listen, and I can't see very well in here tonight because the lights are right in my eyes. So I don't know if you're here tonight. Whoever you are, you'll know in a moment. But I was talking to you this last week, and there's a situation with a husband and a wife, and she says, listen, I absolutely am fully aware of everything that took place, and I am telling him that I forgive him. And he said, yeah, but this, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And she said, do you realize Jesus died for you? This is a husband and wife of 20 years. And she was so direct. Yeah, but I did this. Christ died for this. I'm thinking, gosh, lady, hit him. Let me hit him. Somebody hit him. I mean, she was such an example. She wasn't in denial. She says, if Jesus can forgive me, he can forgive you. There's no sin that you can sin outside his ability to forgive. And I want you to let go of the past and let's get going with the future. And I was like, man! And in the spirit realm, I bet you could hear Satan's tooth getting broken off and a finger getting broken and a wing getting bent. She refused. And she looked to the cross. We know what to do with the truth. Do we do it? Well, he hurt me. What happened? He said this. Did you talk to him about it? No. Then what are you telling me about it for? Because I'm into gossip. You just turn your little self around. You go right back to him and you deal with it. Satan will destroy you. He'll sterilize you. I mean, I remember when we got our little dog from the pound. The moment we got him home, he ran away. And we got him right back. I mean, we captured, you know, he's only 4 pounds. So it was kind of easy to catch him. And an hour later, ran away again. So we called the vet and we said, what's the deal? You know, this little guy just keeps running around. And he says, bring him in. I'll make sure he doesn't run around again. And he took his sails right off. And that dog's never left our yard since. It's been 11 years. Remove the distraction. And so many Christians are so caught up. So distracted. Well, they said this about me. Come on, if the truth be known, they said a lot worse about you. Let it go. Jesus laid down his life for us. Who in the world do we think we are that we stand up and say, now look here, you owe me. Boy, yeah, you know, you really hurt me last year or last month or 10 years ago. And some people get on a crusade to drag their friend or spouse through the muck and the mire for the rest of their lives, and they have no idea that they are being used by Satan to sterilize and neuter their Christian power. And you'll never share Christ. In fact, you are more effective for the kingdom of hell alive than if you were dead and in heaven. Because you just spread damage. It's like cancer. Look, every one of us have been hurt. We've all been wronged. Of course, the greatest pain comes in religious circles, spiritual circles. Of course. Many people have been hurt in those areas. I had a woman tell me that she was growing up. First chance she got, she departed as far away from, quote, the church as she could because of being molested by the minister. What do you think Jesus thinks about that? She heard the word of God, and you know what? She was set free. We've all been wronged. We know what to do with the truth. He's our living example. If there's something that is derailing your walk tonight, anger, bitterness, you're upset, settle it. Fix it now. You have the power to shut the door on Satan's face. And cut him off. Because he laid down his life for us. That's why I wanted Tammy to sing that song again. Of course, I knew where we were going. I had the notes. The blood that ran down. His hands, his face. That we might be forgiven, set free. You can close your Bible. We'll end with this. This week, translator, he said, do you remember me? And I said, I remember your face. I don't remember your name. And he gave me his name. And he said, I met you 3 years ago. It was Sunday, thus and such a date. He knew the very date. This is kind of scary, you know. He's got my attention at this point. He said, I met you. He said, you were flying from Russia and you had a layover in Frankfurt, and so you drove to Ziegen and you did the Sunday morning service that morning. You're only there for a short few hours, and you were on a plane again and on your way home. You, in that service with my three friends, you were sitting there as the worship group was playing, and when someone said in the group, turn and greet one another, you turned and you greeted me. I had never been to church in my life, and I didn't know God. He said, before this trip comes to an end, and you go back home, I want you to know something. After the service, you talked with my friends about evolution. And I said, I do remember this now. I do. And he said, I gave my heart to Christ at the end of our argument. And he said, I'll never forget that day. Now, this is amazing. He said it wasn't so much the argument for creation and design versus evolution and accidents. He said that there was a spirit behind the truth that was being given that I knew was real. And he said, since that time, my life is changed. And I want you to know that you were the first Christian and you led me to the Lord in your message that morning. And I'm really happy to be here. We were on the streets translating and reaching people together, and I had no idea until the night that we left that this man had come to faith in Jesus because of the truth that each one of us possess. If we're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the love of God, real love, the world is dying for it. They're dying for it. To touch someone without any fear for them not having any fear, to sit with them or to pray with them, to cry with them, to hold them, to labor with them, no fear. It's just free. That's a great way to live. I hope you know it. Father, we ask you to ignite, refresh, if necessary, the real love that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And Father, that we would lay down our lives this night by lifting up others around us. That our youth would begin to lift up their parents, or the parents lifting up the youth. And all those who serve, and all those who sit, that we'd lift up one another. To the point of exhaustion, as Paul would put it, may we labor, agonizo. Gymnazo in the faith. O Lord our God, blessed art thou, O King of the universe. Bring forth life and love from us as we yield to Jesus, who laid down his life for us. My friend, if you don't know Jesus tonight personally, right now where you're at, you can say, Jesus Christ, I want you to move into my life. I want you to take, Lord, my hatred or adultery or temper or fears, whatever it might be, my sin, and cleanse me. Jesus, I want to meet you. And so I give you my life. I ask you to put your spirit in me and cause me to walk in your path. That I would take deep rest and now coming home to the creator of my soul and the guide of my life. Thank you, Jesus.